be here again tonight, have the privilege to stand for the Lord. I'm not going to ask you to turn tonight because I'll be reading four different scriptures, and for time's sake, I'm just going to read to you, and I just guarantee you it's in the Bible. In Mark chapter 10, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother.' And he answered and said unto him, 'Master, all these things have I observed from my youth.' Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, 'One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me.' Then in Acts chapter 5, "But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part, and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, 'Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? After that it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God.' And Ananias, hearing these things, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, 'Tell me whether you sold the land for so much.' And she said, 'Yea, for so much.' Then Peter said unto her, 'How is it that you have agreed together against the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out.' Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and as many as heard these things." Luke chapter 14. "A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, 'I bought a piece of ground, and I must need to go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused.' And another said, 'I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused.' And another said, 'I married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So the servants came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, 'Go out quickly unto the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor and the maimed, the halt and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Lord, it's done as thou hast commanded, and yet there's room.' And the Lord said to the servant, 'Go out in the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper.'" In Mark chapter 2, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch as there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. And when none could come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, 'Son, thy sins be forgiven thee.' But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, reasoning in their hearts, 'What does this man thus speak? Blasphemies. Who can forgive sins but God only?' And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, 'Why reason these things in your heart? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, that thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins,' he saith to the sick of the palsy, 'I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go into thine house.' And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, 'We never saw it on this fashion.'" I want to preach to you for a while tonight, if God will help me, just a few minutes before the man of God comes. On one for the money, and two for the show, and three to get ready, and four to go. I've never known a time when our nation was as money hungry as it is tonight. We're tied to prosperity, and it's invaded the church, and it has invaded the pulpit. And I'm sorry that it looks like we'd better have gold as to have the gospel. That men had better have a big church and popularity as to have the power of God. And it makes no difference now if one man is more convincing than another in America that he can help the economy and bring prosperity. America will put him in office for that reason alone. It doesn't make any difference what he believes about murder or lying or adultery. All we want to know is, will you give us more money for our pocketbook? God have mercy. But the Bible said, having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. For he said the love of money is the root of all evil. God help us as Christian people tonight to know that it don't lie in the dollar, but in God Almighty. I would again that God's men would forget about prosperity and preach and quit worrying about how God is going to take care of us. I know he will. He's took care of you when you didn't have a dime to your name and didn't know how he's going to address your own children. God woke up you in the morning and said it'll be all right. I bless his name. He's able to take care of you. I've seen men of God walk away from the old time Holy Ghost way and go after a better job. Go to work on Sunday and have to resign their church to keep up with the Joneses. I found out about them Joneses that got ahead of me. If I'll just idle my motor, I'll meet them coming back. Amen. And I'll tell you what we better do. We better do what the old folks did. Pray and beg God to take care of us. When the nights are dark and the clouds are hanging low, God knows your condition and he'll see to you. Listen to me, ladies. Don't pressure your husband for bigger and better things in the house. A better car and a finer rug and better furniture. Pray that God will bless your family and make you servants of the living God. We're living in the last times. I'm going to tell you, we're coming down. There's going to be a judgment when money's not going to be in it. It's whether or not we sought God with a whole heart. Now when men put in their name in the pot for churches and send out their resumes, I'm glad I never did learn to pronounce the name. I thought it spelled resume till about 2 years ago, about 10 years ago. I'm glad I don't know what resumes are. I don't know how to fill out one. But I got a God in heaven that knows how. And if he don't tie you up, forget it. I'll tell you what the preacher wants to know now when he meets with the committee. What's in the deal? And what's in the package? I started out preaching to a groundhog. I preached my first message to a groundhog. And he listened. He left and didn't come back, but he listened while I was preaching. And I want to say to you tonight, God's never promised me any more than that, except he'd be with me. And I bless his name. That's the dove. If God will be with me, and I'll stay with him, he'll take care of my thing. Put food on my table when I didn't see any way.
Sometime I've got more time. I'd like for me and you to get together and tell you how supernaturally God put shoes on my feet and clothes on my back, and I'd go to preach without any money to buy gas and get enough to get home. He's able. That's good enough. And there's two for the show. Have you ever seen a time when there's more showmanship than there is tonight? I'm going to tell you, I know some Baptist folk that can make a million in Hollywood. They can cry anytime they want to. They can. And God help us, we're in the church, in the Baptist church, we're in show business. And God help us to get out of the show business and get into the show business. We don't need to let the world know how important we are. We need to show the world that God's real in my heart and in my life. I'm going to tell you, I'd rather for my children to shout than to have $1 million. Are you hearing me tonight? I'm going to tell you, I've got a son, and he's a lack of a boy. If he come in here tonight and you talk to him, you'd say, that's a fine boy, but he's got some problems. He don't come to the house of God, and I doubt whether he's ever been saved. You say, preacher, you say that about, oh, yeah, if you ask him, he'd say he's all right. But I'm going to tell you, if you don't go to the house of God and got no desire to do right, I believe there's something missing in you. Are you hearing me? And I'd give everything I own tonight to see him in the house of God, praising the Lord and blessing his holy name. We want to brag on our children about their accomplishments. I wouldn't put on the back of my car bumper, my child is an honor student here or there. Amen. Now you say, preacher, what are you doing? You better quit bragging on your children in public and making them think about how pretty they are and how accomplished they are. They'll get to believe in you after a while. And God can't deal with a proud spirit that's in love with himself. Listen to this old war out preacher tonight. If you'd have had what you deserve, you ought to be in hell tonight. I don't care how pretty you are and how much money you've got in the bank, you're nothing. And if you don't realize it, God can't use you, and he can't use me. We're nothing. Amen. I was preaching revival. I told you this before. I need to remind you. Preaching revival over yonder in the hills, and folks came in from everywhere. What a revival. It went on about 3 weeks. We had to go to the funeral home, get chairs, and set them out. And folk got saved. Some Church of Christ came in, and they'd record the message, and they'd take it over to the store and play it and laugh at it in the daytime. I told them, I tell them boys, come on, bring it down in the front seat. The preacher's dumb. He don't know any different. And they fell for that, and they got too close. And that God got a hold of them and saved two or three of them. And we had a meeting, great God. And then some folk come to me, and I want to say this. It is early in my ministry, and that's the excuse I use. And then some folks came to me and said, we want you to preach over yonder at the church, and it's a bigger church. And they said, we'll have you over there on Saturday night, and there'll be people there from everywhere. And I said, well, I'll come, you know. I mean, I've got what they need. And, you know, when you're good, you don't have to study. Ain't no use thinking about it, no use of praying. I mean, when you've got it, you've got it. And so I went over there, and they sung, Lord, there was a crowd there, and they turned it over to me, and I took my Bible and walked in the stand. I passed by my Bible that day and saw a scripture, and I said, well, that'll be good enough for them. And the folder back up, and I opened it that night, and I felt, when I made that little circle right there, I felt a door close in heaven, and there's a voice spoke in my heart and said, it's all yours. I'd like to wipe that thing out of my memory tonight, but it's in there. I'm going to tell you, we're nothing. I told that crowd after I'd stumbled around and tried to read. I said, I know the Lord, I'm saved, and I'm called, but I can't even think of his son's name tonight, and I'm going to shut up and sit down. And I did. And they took an offering for me, and I was ashamed. And I asked the man when they quit, is there a door? I don't want to go out this way. Is there a door in the back? And he said, yeah, that's right there. But I went up there and hit a swell and wouldn't open. And the Lord said, you're so good, just walk right on back down the aisle like you come in. God help us. I want to tell you tonight, we better get out of the big buddy business and get back in the humility business and ask God to have mercy on our souls. Now, I want to say to you ladies, well, it used to be, I don't know, that ladies had more pride than me. But after seeing all these men's hairdos and earrings and going to the beauty parlor to get a haircut, I'm sick. Hey, ma'am, if you've been wondering where your jewelry gone to, your husband's got it on. I'm going to tell you, we're in a God-forsaken mess. And pride has overtaken us. And we're in for show. And it's got into our pulpits. You heard me, I say it tonight with trembling in my voice. It's got into our pulpits, pride. And look who I am and where I've been and what I've done. Heard a while back, man went to hear an evangelist, and he's popular. He's in a tent, and he said, I've never seen him before, and I want to see him. And so he went, and he saw a man over to the side while the choir was singing, and he was amazing. Had on a white suit and white shoes, and he said, who's that over there? And they said, that's the evangelist. He's getting revved up for the message. Amen. God, you know, show business, there's no business like show business. I mean, that'll sell tapes. Are you hearing me tonight? It's like the man of God said the other day, I mean, sell them tapes, that brings in money. I'm going to tell you, God never did bless a mess like that, and He never will. Hear me, preacher, tonight. We better, ma'am, you hear this, old preacher, you better stay on the dress like a lady at home and at the and down at the store and at the church house. Dress the right. I wouldn't want to be caught out in anything. I wouldn't want to be buried in. Then there's three to get ready. I mean, excuses for not serving God. I said last night, this old time sweating, hollering, preaching is about gone out. And it amazes me how the Holy Ghost can handle all that. Me and the brother Larry's talking today about the mystery of the preaching of the Word of God. I've preached places where I know they wouldn't take that. They wouldn't be absolutely no way. And I'd try to get in that jumping, hollering frame and couldn't get in it. And God's holding me down. But I was uncomfortable. That ain't my way. I want to get loose. A week before last, I preached in, now don't y'all get mad at me, but I preached in New York in a Southern Baptist seminary in New York in one of them schools. And I told God, I said, I want to spit on them if you'll let me, and sweat and the holler and hoop. And I never could get in that gear. And God knowed that they would not take that. But when I got done preaching, I gave an altar call. And did you know them folks, them students yonder in Albany, New York, came to the altar and run and cried. There's a man with his head laying over on the rostrum, and a grown man, and he's crying and begging God to help him. And I asked Dr. Shepherd, who is it? And he said, that's one of our main professors of Hebrew and Greek. And I said, thank you, Lord. The Holy Ghost knows how to handle it. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, you oughtn't to be ashamed to get all the way out in God and let Him have you. Thank God. And yes, brother. Amen. Now, there ought to be a certain show business at the house of God. I believe you ladies ought to show the young ladies how to dress and how a Christian lady wires her hair. Can I just go ahead and preach? We've been on these long-haired men so much that we forgot about these short-haired women. that you can't stand behind them and look at their haircut and tell whether they're a woman or a man. And you can just swallow hard if you want to, but I'm telling you what's right. You went to the beauty parlor and had them to cut your glory off, and I'm going to tell you, while it's like that, you'll not ever get in the Holy Ghost and testify and thank you whether you like it or not. Amen. We're in the show business. I mean, if they do it on the screen, we want to do it to our bodies. God help your unified heart tonight. We're in show business, but it's the wrong time. Have your son ever heard you testify in the Holy Ghost? Ever seen you under burden for lost sinners and seen you weep till you couldn't talk? God help you to get in the show business. I'll tell you what you do. Now, I don't come to church here, but I've been here enough. I believe this is my 13th year in a row that I've been here, Brother Cleus, revivals and all, straight. And I've learned, and if I can just about tell you some of the songs they're going to sing on Sunday morning.
Yeah. Amen.
I can just about tell you. And if I'm around here very much, I can tell you about who's going to testify.
Uh-huh.
And I can just about tell you, probably, if you have very much, there'll be some woman started. We're in a mess where we got to have the women to crank the service, or it don't get cranked.
Amen.
God help you, men. God help you, men. God help you, men. And I'll tell you what, I've been Brother Cletus enough to know when he gets up, I can tell you probably 25 to 50 or 100 words he's going to say. And some folk get so tired of that, they go to hunting new ground. And you know what they'll say? I ain't getting fed over there. I want to remind you tonight, that's the first thing them Israelites griped about when they got out yonder on the journey before they ever crossed the Red Sea. They said, you brought us out here to starve us to death. Hey, it don't make no difference whether you like cornbread and beans or not. If it's on God's menu, you're going to get it on Sunday morning. Amen. If you're a real old-time Christian, you won't get tired of it. Amen. Thank God. In my travels, I guess I've heard every kind of preaching that you can imagine. Good and bad. And I heard different ways of preaching. And I tell you, such different from a man standing still behind the pulpit and holding on and never moving anything but my heart and soul to want to get up and jump and holler hallelujah to an old timer. Can't somebody else has to read for him and can't hardly talk. And God moved through him and blessed my heart. And it'll run to the other spectrum and bat both cans. But I'm going to tell you tonight, what I'd do if it's boring to me at the house of God, I can tell you I'll stop all that. You go down yonder on Saturday afternoon, don't need anything all day on Saturday, and on Saturday afternoon I'll get you a quilt or a blanket or something and go down to the bar and sleep in the hay and pray about all night and take your light with you and read your Bible and pray and pray and pray, get somewhere nobody can hear you, and pray for your neighbor and pray for the preacher and take a long time and pray for yourself, and then get up the next morning, pray and eat a little back and get your family ready and get them at the house of God, and don't fuss at your wife because she ain't ready. Help her get them ready and pray with your family. Go to the house of God and you'll probably find it ain't boring by the time you get, remember last night when God got the calling on you and to get the hollering and blessing God, you'll take the monotony out of it and get in the right kind of show business. Woo! Hallelujah! I'm glad tonight that the show business, that is right. I ain't gonna ask you if you watched the Super Bowl. Just make him, how in the world can you watch that ungodly mess and then go to church that night and stand dressed like a Christian and weep and beg folks to pray for sinners? You can't do it. And our Baptist churches have got the betting on of the Super Bowl at the church house. Putting out two collection plates. Let everyone that's for the Who was it played? The Bucks and who? Angel? You better not answer me. And they put all that who wants one side on the other and one side on the other, and then they watch it on the screen. And then they take all that money and put it in the treasury. Did you know the Bible said that the sacrifice of fools is an abomination in the sight of God? He won't even bless your staking money that you won in the lottery. Amen. Oh, God help us. God help us. Out of quit making excuses and worship in spirit and in truth. You say, preacher, it's gone out of style. I know it has, but it's still in style. For my place and my people, thank God it's right to worship in the old time way.
Are you still getting ready? Now, I want to ask you something. And this is all right. There's not anything wrong with it. How many of you has got an old Christian that you want to be like? I thank you, and I don't want to insult you at all. I love you. But why ain't you like them? Why ain't we like them? I got to look at them old men of God that I liked and admired, and I do, and I do still admire them. And I don't want to be exactly like them because I'm God's free man. You know what that means. He wants me to be like me. But why in the world ain't we pushing to be like them? Where's all them women, them old women that used to stand and shout their hair down? Amen! Why don't you want to be like them? Thank God, come for the preacher and invite him home. You know what, them old ladies wasn't satisfied unless they had the man of God, and they didn't understand. Folks don't understand today that having the man of God in your house honors your house. Amen. Amen. Well, them amens dying on that cookie. Three to get ready, but there's four that's wanting to go. Do you have a zeal for the house of God? Do you like real old-time preaching, as the man of God said, had you rather hear teaching and speaking? We're in that age now where teachers are taking over and preachers are about gone. We have a whole bunch of cowards in the pulpit, afraid of their position. They'll not. Did you know a lot of us are preaching so we can preach again? Preach so somebody will come to us and want our card and want us to come to their place. Well, I like all that. But I'm going to tell you tonight, we better get back to finding out what God wants. Amen. And get on the go for Him. There's not many more miles and many more trips until the Lord's going to come and bring an end to it all.
Yes.
And I want to tell y'all tonight, I got as much right to say this as other folks have to say the other way. We're going to see trouble before we get out of here.
Amen.
And I want to be a Christian. Preacher, make you mad. God bless your heart. You went home so. You little sissy. So if that's what it is, I don't believe we need to go back to church anymore. God bless you. Now I'm going to tell you, after this meeting tonight, tomorrow night, Friday night, Brother Cletus might come. Say, Brother, maybe you offended me this week. I believe it'd be better if you just don't come back tomorrow. I'd cry and go up to house. Brother Larry and some of these others, Brother Reed, my friend, might say, Brother Mill, we just can't take that anymore. And I'd cry and go up to house. My church said, Brother Mill, we've had enough of that old stuff, and we just gonna go another route. And I'd cry and go up to house. But Sunday morning, I'm going to be in somebody's amen corner.
Amen.
I want to ask y'all something tonight. How many of you has had folks to do bad things to you?
Oh, yeah. Well, now let me ask you this. How many of you gods ever done something bad to you? What do you want to quit him for then when men do bad things?
Amen.
I want to be a goer and a doer. I only tell when the man of God's a standing and he leaves, wave my hands or let him know, amen, that he's a doing right.
Amen.
I was a long time getting some of my people to speak up while the choirs were singing. And them old mountains and them mountain folk, there's some of them down here. They're enjoying it and just sitting there, but they forget to say, amen, that's good singing. Thank God.
Yeah.
You're helping me. Amen.
Amen.
Talking about being a goer, thank God. We ought to be ready on Sunday morning. Amen. Sunday school starts at 10, not 11.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank God we ought to be there a long time before it starts. I believe everybody ought to sit on the front three seats. Help the man of God to preach. I don't want anything this world's got that God's not pleased with. I like good things. I like to drive a good car and wear good clothes. But more than anything else, I want to feel His holy power. I want one more time, and the next morning, not tomorrow morning, I want it again to feel Him touch me and search through my soul and make me want to sing and holler and preach. I want to be a goer for God.
Amen.
You have the message,
my friend.
God bless you.
You obey God. God speak into your heart. You need to do business with God. Amen. Whatever God can say in your heart, just do that.